We've been exploring mindfulness and self-compassion over the past several months. And it is to that end that I am thrilled to introduce our guest speaker today, who I came about because I wanted to learn more about this self-compassion, mindful self-compassion technique, and tried to sign up for a class that was happening up at DU, and I missed the deadline. And it turns out Lisa Ratney Smith, who I'll be introducing to you here in just a moment, we actually have some common acquaintances and colleagues. And so someone said, oh, Heidi said, well, I know Lisa Ratney Smith. She's amazing. You should just call her and maybe she'll hook you up. Maybe she couldn't get me in because DU's serious about their deadlines, apparently. But she's offering another session of that workshop, a shorter version of it that you'll hear more about today and are invited to participate in. And she just brings such a genuine, authentic presence, joyous and grounded clearly in love. She's been a social worker at Aurora Public Schools since many, many years ago, 1994. So she's preparing to retire from that and fully move into her healing modalities. She's a Reiki master and a yoga teacher with all sorts of credentials on that, as well as a sound healing practitioner, and is trained in this mindful self-compassion technique, which is really having, and you'll hear about this from her, of course, really profound effects on people's well-being and ability then also to deepen their compassion for others. And Lisa, the highest compliment to you, you have our Unitines who've decided to stay in here to learn from you today. So that tells you who we're dealing with. I'd like to welcome Lisa Ratney Smith to the stage. Thank you.
Thank you. Echoing, I think. Okay, there we go. Okay. Well, thank you for that lovely introduction. I appreciate that so much. And thank you all for welcoming me today. All of what Trish said is very kind. And in addition to that, I wanted to share just a little bit about my journey with meditation and mindful self-compassion. My first meditation class was actually here at Unity with Richard Baer. So that is really was the start of my journey in meditation, and I believe it was 1996. So it's been quite a while. And about 2018, it was December of 2018, I was able to go to Berkeley to a conference led by Kristen Neff and Kristen Germer, who are the founders of Mindful Self-Compassion, and do their core skills workshop. And I have been practicing as a mental health provider for a long time, and I found it to be like one of the most transformative experiences of my life. I moved stuff through and shifted perspective in ways that I hadn't in, 30 years. So I really found that it was something that was essential for me to learn more about and also to share with others. So we convinced our director to send us to be trained, my coworkers and I, and we've been offering this practice in our school district since our winter of 2019. So I'm excited to begin to offer it more into the community as well, and decided that it was fortuitous that Trish did not get to come into the DU class so that we could offer something to you all. So, I forgot the clicker. There we go. Yeah. So I know you all have been talking about self-compassion the last couple of weeks, and just a reminder that self-compassion is about treating ourselves with the same kindness that we would treat others. And Kristen Neff has done some research in 2016 that showed that 78% of people are more compassionate with others than they are with themselves. So if you're feeling like you're very hard on yourself, no, you're not alone, because the majority of us are. And only 6% of people report that they are more compassionate with themselves than others. And about 16% report that they are equally compassionate with themselves and other people. So part of self-compassion, part of our being critical with ourselves is that natural survival response of our brains to be alert for safety and to know, you know, what it is that we need to protect ourselves against. And in our current world, often it's not that there's a danger, a physical danger that's happening, it's more of an emotional or mental danger that's happening. And so the problem that our brain attacks is us. So the mindful self-compassion helps us to learn some skills to address that and support ourselves with kindness. So there are three components of mindful self-compassion. The first one is mindfulness, and we compare that with mindfulness versus over-identification. So mindfulness is paying attention to the present moment, what's happening with us internally and externally with acceptance. Sometimes that's the definition is given as without judgment, and I find that really challenging because our human brains judge and assess things all the time. So shifting it to with acceptance allows me to just let that be. It is what it is, but I don't have to like it. I just have to acknowledge that it is. And over-identification is when we get carried away with the emotions. So our limbic brain takes over, is driving the bus, the emotions are taking over and leading our behaviors. So we're not really thinking about them a lot. So mindfulness can give us a chance to pause and reflect and make a thoughtful choice or response. The next piece of mindful self-compassion is common humanity, and that is in opposition to isolation. We often see ourselves as being the only one who is struggling. Everybody else looks happy and healthy and successful, and it feels like we're the only ones who are experiencing this difficulty. So common humanity helps us be aware and remember that we are all in this together, that other people would have the same experiences that we're having when we're having some struggles and difficulties and challenges. And then lastly, self-kindness versus self-judgment. So self-kindness can be challenging, as we said, in the research about how we treat ourselves and how we talk to ourselves. But we're really good at the self-judgment thing. And so it's a really strong neural pathway in our brain that we've learned since we were young, growing up, messages that we've heard from others, messages that we've created for ourselves and internalized. So when we're hard on ourselves, it's that natural habitual reaction. So it takes a lot of practice and time for us to develop the language of self-kindness. And I was listening to a talk that Chris Germer was giving earlier this week, and he was talking about self-compassion as a U-turn. And I loved that image because it's thinking about how would I talk to someone else who is experiencing the same thing right now, and then doing a U-turn and trying to offer that same language to myself. So sometimes we have to start with other people because that's what's easier for us, and then turn it and see if we can offer it to ourselves. There are a couple of different kinds of compassion. We typically think of the yin kind of compassion, which is comforting, soothing, validating. It's that soft, warm hug. But there's also yang self-compassion. And yang self-compassion is protecting, providing, and motivating. And Trish actually shared an example of Heidi and her fierce compassion and that yang compassion when there was an incident in the basement with an animal that and Heidi, you know, engaged that fierce and yang compassion because she thought it was something that was intentional that had happened, and she's like, that is not happening here. I am setting a boundary here. And that is our fierce yang compassion, and it's a really important part of it. But we have to nurture ourselves with that yin compassion before we can step out into the world and be fierce and protective. So it's a balance of using both of those. Roshi Joan Halifax is another one of my favorite meditation teachers, and she talks about having a strong back and a soft front. And for me, that's really a wonderful example of that yang compassion, of that strong back and the yin compassion of the soft front. So I wanted to have you practice with me just a moment some hand gestures that can help us understand these three components of mindful self-compassion. So the first thing I invite you to do, if you'd prefer just to observe, feel free to do that, but if you'd like to engage, I encourage you to. The first thing I invite you to do is to bring your hands into a fist and just tighten all the muscles in your arms, feeling that sense of tightness, tension, resistance. So this is the resistance that we have, our inner critic, is that, get that tight, tense feeling. And then I invite you to open your palms, soften your arms, and just have the palms looking up toward the sky. So this is mindfulness, accepting this moment as it is. Again, we don't have to like it, or maybe we do, but it's just as it is. And then gently extending our arms out in front of us is common humanity, making that connection with others, inviting others in, remembering that we aren't alone. And then I invite you to bring your hands to your heart, and that is offering ourselves kindness, self-kindness. With the touch of our hands, you can feel that warmth and gentleness of your hands, the pressure, offering yourself that kindness. So again, mindfulness, common humanity, and self-kindness. So sometimes I find that those gestures help me remember the three steps of mindful self-compassion. And I'd like to share a little bit about, it's hard for read up there, but about the benefits of mindful self-compassion. I think that Trish shared some of the misgivings around self-compassion that can arise, which are very natural and normal part of being human. But some of the benefits of self-compassion are that our experiences of happiness and life satisfaction are increased. Our overall emotional well-being is increased as well. I've been so excited in the class that I'm teaching, the short course through DU. Our last class is coming up this week, and it's so fun to see how quickly people notice the benefits, how quickly they're able to make small changes that make a big difference in their life. So it can be really powerful. The research shows that anxiety, depression, and sense of shame, feelings of stress also decrease, and actually that's things that I've heard from my students as well in these past few weeks. Our ability to maintain healthy habits like diet and exercise, taking care of ourselves, creating time and space for quietness and reflection, all of those things are enhanced when we're able to practice mindful self-compassion because we are able to be kind to ourselves to provide that time for ourselves. Our personal relationships improve. People report feeling more satisfied with those. Professionally, and I've experienced this myself as well as many of the staff that I've taught in my district, that the sense of burnout can be decreased as well by offering ourselves compassion and being able to both offer that kindness as well as set those boundaries for ourselves. And for those of you who are in caregiving roles, whether that's with friends or family or in your profession, caregivers report that they have a greater sense of satisfaction in their jobs as well. And again, less of that burnout. So it can be really beneficial on so many ways in our lives. So I'd like to lead you through three different practices. Feel free to participate as much as feels comfortable for you. So the first one is the self-compassion break, and this one is one of my most favorite. It's my go-to. I do it probably every day to some degree. And it's really using the three components of self-compassion, mindfulness, common humanity, and self-kindness to help us bring ourselves some ease and calm and give ourselves a break in the middle of a difficult situation. So I invite you to close your eyes if you would like, or just gaze softly downward, allowing yourself to turn inward. Take a deep breath and allow yourself to settle into the seat, feeling its support beneath you. And then I invite you to bring to mind a situation that is mildly frustrating or is creating a little bit of discomfort for you. Nothing too big right now today as you're learning the practice, but something that's mild. And feel into that. Notice as you think about the situation, what arises in your body? What do you notice tenses, perhaps your jaw or your stomach, shoulders? And as we bring our awareness to the difficulty of the situation, I invite you to silently say to yourself, "This is a moment of difficulty." Labeling the difficulty is our mindfulness. Acknowledging and validating what it is that is right in this moment. And then bringing in our common humanity, I invite you to say to yourself silently, "Other people would feel this way in this situation too." You might find some other language like, "You're not alone," "I've got your back," "We'll get through this." Notice how that feels to connect yourself with the rest of humanity. And then I invite you to place one or both hands on your heart or somewhere else on your body that might feel soothing. Feeling the gentle pressure of your hands on your body, perhaps the warmth emanating from them. And then I invite you to offer yourself some words of kindness. Something like, "May I be kind to myself. May I be gentle with myself through this moment." And if it feels difficult to find those words to say directly to yourself, imagine a dear friend or loved one was experiencing the same difficulty. What words would you like to share with them? And then I invite you to make that U-turn and try saying those words to yourself. Then gently letting go of the practice, I invite you to take a breath in and out. Just notice how you feel, perhaps what has changed or what's the same in your mind and body. So again, that's a practice that you can do in more of that meditative way as we did today, or that you can practice quickly in a difficult moment, acknowledging that moment, acknowledging that other people would feel the same way in this difficult situation, and then offering yourself some kindness, whether that's with your words or with your hands. The next practice is called Soles of the Feet. So if you would like, I invite you to stand. If you'd like to remain seated, that's fine too. You're welcome, if you're staying seated, to kind of scoot out toward the edge of your seat a little bit, makes it a little more accessible. Soles of the feet can be a practice that's very grounding for us and helps us to be really present in the moment. So standing with your feet about hip-width apart, softening your knees, I invite you to bring your awareness to the soles of your feet. Notice the sensations, perhaps the socks that are, the texture of the socks that are over your feet if you're wearing them, or the sensations of the shoes beneath you. The softness or firmness. And then I invite you to gently just rock forward and backwards on your feet. If you'd like, you can gently lift your toes and heels. And when you notice your mind is wandering somewhere else, just gently bring it back to the soles of your feet and catch yourself if you tip off balance. And if you'd like, you can also try rocking from side to side, out to the edges of the feet. Noticing those sensations. And if you'd like, combining those, making circles kind of with your knees as you roll around the edges of your feet. So often when distress arises, our brains go off into interesting pathways, stories, and catastrophes. And bringing ourselves back to the soles of our feet can be a great practice to help us come back to the present moment and then be able to offer ourselves some kindness. And then coming back to a place of stillness, taking a breath in and out. And then gently returning to your seat. And the last practice I'll have you do today is a gratitude practice. And I invite you to just take a moment to think of five things that you are grateful for in this moment on this day. It can be small things, it can be big things. Just taking that moment. And then I invite you to turn to a neighbor and share at least one of them, something that you feel comfortable sharing that you're grateful for. Does anyone have anything they would like to share with the larger community that you're grateful for? I know that can be friends, family, this place. Yes, all right. Did anyone include in their gratitude list themselves? Common humanity, no one ever does. It's okay. But it's important to think about that, that there's so much to be grateful for about ourselves that we miss so much in our lives. So I encourage you to think about something about yourself for which you're grateful. Some strength that you have, a way that you are in the world, a way you contribute to community, whatever it is. Think about that so that you have that in your pocket when things are difficult and you can be like, I'm grateful for this about myself. So. All right. Oops. Here we go. All right. So that's a little taste of some of the practices that we'll learn in the Mindful Self-Compassion course. It's the short course, which is 9 hours. We're going to do it over 3 Saturday afternoons, 1 to 4, the first 3 Saturdays of November. There is a longer course that involves more of the meditations pieces in it, and that I'll be offering through DU in the winter as well. If you're interested in that, you're welcome to take both if you would like. If you have questions, please let me know after class. You can also email me. After class, after service. All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and share these practices with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's nice to have some embodiment. I don't know about you, but I am. Oh, the kids are done. Trish is talking. The kids are woof. We've heard this before, but those embodiment practices I am not good at, and I find that they really help integrate what we know, right, into some, can you advance that slide for me, please, into kind of an integrative experience. And I want to just speak to, what do I want to speak to? It's so cute that you said after class. You can tell she's been teaching for 30 years, or in the schools. Into what I'm trying to do by bringing Lisa here, by exploring mindfulness, by exploring meditation and prayer more deeply, is to solidify some practices. I love the teachings of Unity, and I can go completely cerebral on them. And until I was able to kind of really meet the fullness of my humanity in all the ways that that is joyous and wonderful and challenging, as you know what, I haven't been practicing them at the depth. They've been up here. And so really practical things that might seem so simple, but how beautiful how you ended that. How many of you had yourself on the list? Wah, wah. And it's certainly not to say that we're perfect and there's no ways that we want to grow or deepen our capacity to show up in the world and take responsibility. Of course, we do. And from my little brief experience with this technique and learning and noticing how hard I can be on myself, right? It really does come together in a way that makes me more available to the fullness of life, in the ups and the downs and the mediocres. So just being able to be present, and that's something that mindfulness, I think, really supports us in, is to just be with the experience of being ourselves in this moment and letting it be. And then we can actually move through that powerfully and with a sense of awareness. So I hope that something that was brought to you today was meaningful for you. And if you're interested in learning more, of course, talk to Lisa afterwards. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope that you found something meaningful in our service. If you'd like to learn more about us or make a donation in support of what we do here, visit unitydenver.org. Our Sunday service is at 10 a.m. every Sunday. We hope to see you sometime in person.